is sell insurance, but also I give financial counsel all day long, all year. So that's why, and I've taught this workshop for several years, and I know that it's a privilege to be here, and I take it very seriously. So if some of my answers seem flippant or not thought out, I promise you, there's not a question y'all are going to ask that I haven't thought out and tried to study the scripture on. So most of them will be scriptural answers. My name is Mark Inman. I'm from Wichita Falls here. I moved here in 63. My family moved here, so that's all of my... lived in Wichita most of my childhood, all of my adult life. My spiritual testimony is I was brought to the Lord through the work of the Baptist Student Union out here at Midwestern. As soon as I became a Christian, a fellow named Don Lish that had been discipled by the local Navigator representative said, "Mark, I see there's a new life in you. Let me show you what a new Christian ought to be doing." And he stuck to me like glue for 2.5 years. You know, I couldn't get rid of the guy. For 2.5 years, we had quiet time, scripture memory, Bible study, door knocking. My spiritual heritage is the Don Lish and the Navigators. So if I don't do right, it's because I know that I don't know right. That's been about since 71 or 72 that Don Lish got a hold of me. I can tell you by my own experience that discipleship principles do work. I've had the privilege of leading people to Christ. I've had the privilege of discipling them. I've seen second and third generation disciples come out of from Don Lish to me to another. So it does work, men. But being a disciple doesn't necessarily mean you're going to do right financially. In my case, I've screwed up every way you can screw up financially. So that's my discipleship side. My financial side is my dad didn't give too much credence in school. He thought hard work was all a fellow needed to do. So from the time I was about 13 on, I did go to school. But as long as I went, that made him happy and that made my mama happy. So I worked 20 to 30 hours plus from the time I was in junior high school and my 3.5 years of college before I decided I couldn't finish college. But my dad did instill in me a good work ethic, so I never had a problem working hard. But after college, got married, started in the insurance business in 72, and I've been an independent agent since about 73, 74, which means I can go independently broke by myself. In about 85, I was $50,000 in debt, credit card wise. I owed on two or three cars. I owed a big note on a house. I owed a big note on a business, on a building. I had a partnership that was going south, and I went bankrupt. And like I say, I was walking with the Lord. I was doing what I thought was right discipleship wise, but my finances were a teetotal wreck. It's my own fault. No, I can't blame anybody, but I can tell you that unless you learn right and do right financially, it really can mess you up. I'm fortunate that it didn't cost me my marriage, it didn't cost me my kids, but I had to start over totally financially in about 85. At that point, a local CPA that's a believer introduced me to Larry Burkett's budget, and I got on a budget, on a cash budget, and for about 15 years my wife and I didn't own a credit card. We did everything with cash. I can tell you that my marriage is a whole lot more sound today because I went through that experience. I wouldn't recommend bankruptcy to anybody. Today, there's what's called the CCC, and I don't know exactly what that stands for, but there's other alternatives to bankruptcy.
Consumer Credit Counseling.
Thank you. It's an alternative to bankruptcy that's a whole lot more scriptural than bankruptcy. Not that bankruptcy is not a good option, I promise you. But there is life after bankruptcy. I'm living proof. Right now, the last 10 years, my business has been growing about 10% a year plus. I'm about as an independent agent, I sell about $3 million in premium a year. I've got a partial ownership in a finance company. And I'm telling you this not to brag, and I hope it doesn't come across that way. because a lot of times the question comes up, what should I invest in? You can, and this is what I invest in now: rent property, business, my own business, first lien notes, the business that you're in. And the Lord is, by my wife and I doing right, and we pay cash for our cars now and have for the last 5, 6, 7 cars. We pay cash and we don't drive new ones. My 86 pickup's parked out there. I'd encourage you to, after we get through with these questions, just lost my train of thought. Let's get started on the questions. Okay. First one is, where is the point in which you stop buying and give more? When is enough enough? Where's the point? When you stop buying and give more, when is enough enough? You need to settle on a lifestyle. You and your wife, and if you're not married, you need to decide what lifestyle that you need to adopt. And then after that, I think God would have you give more. God owns it all. If you believe that God's happy with 10% of your life, you're wrong. You should hold your life like this and just say, my wife and I personally try to yearly say, you know, where should we give and where does it give us joy to give to? God loves a cheerful giver. And when is enough enough? There's nothing wrong with accumulating wealth, but you need to have a purpose, and then when you get there, then you should change modes. It's not that retirement is not in God's economy, I don't believe. The only scripture that I've read on retirement was the priest retired at age 50, but then they kept on working. Retirement is a modern American thing or modern thing. I don't think you should plan on retire. You retire, you die. Statistics say that if you retired at 65, 7 out of 10 are dead at 75. If you keep working, 7 out of 10 are alive at 75. So shouldn't retire. Change. Slow down. What is a good balance between tithing and savings? If you don't provide for your own family, you're worse than an infidel. So the balance is what you and your wife decide on. Look at the scriptures together. I think you ought to have at least 6 months of your salary in savings as an emergency fund. Would be a good amount of savings. But then you invest so that from 25 to 45, it says first plow your field and then build your home. God would have you learn your trade or get your college education and somewhere around at 25, you start earning more money to age 45. At age 45, usually you get your kids out of the house, hopefully. I'm 47 and I've got 2 in college now and I'll have 3 in college next year, so y'all pray for me. Scripture says a righteous man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. To leave an inheritance monetarily to your children's children, you've got to have savings. So there's nothing wrong with savings and planning for the education and the taking care of your children's children. It's scriptural. And how much that's going to take, each of you have to decide yourself. What if your wife is more gifted in finances? Is it okay to let her do the planning? My wife is the saver. I'm the spender in the family. I'm happy spending all the money. But you need to do it together. The key is you pay your bills together. You do your planning together. If you're not on a budget, shame on you. And I didn't get on a budget till I was forced to. Until I was bankrupt. But just like scripture memory frees your mind to from sin. Budgeting frees your mind from worry of finance. The best years of my marriage have been the years that we've lived on a budget. We've lived on a cash budget. If you're not on a budget, have a burnt offering of your credit cards. I hope y'all, you know, you take your credit cards and you put them in a stack outside on the grill and you pour a little gas on them and poof. And I promise you God will honor it.
Could you explain that phrase, cash?
A cash budget means, and like I say, get Larry Burkett's Family Budget Workbook tapes. You actually plan all your expenditures out of a cash envelope box of most everything. You pay, it's not that you don't have a checking account, you pay your mortgage by check, you pay your bills that you have to mail off by check, but our groceries, your clothing budget, entertainment budget, all that's actually cash in a box in an envelope, and when the envelope's empty, you quit doing that activity for that month. And it works, and it gives you the freedom. The time that wife and I, in 85 or so, when we went on a cash budget, until last year or two, till we start talking about educating our kids through college, we never had a fight about finances. It eliminates all the bickering, and you did this and you did that, but you both agree on what you're going to do. It's something about a consolidation loan. Do you believe or should you do a consolidation loan? I don't want to say this too strongly, but you never borrow money except on your home. You borrow money to finance a house, in my opinion. You can borrow money, secondly, to help establish or keep a business going. Anything else, I don't think God wants you to borrow money. Pay cash for your cars. Do not finance your cars. Do not pay your cars out. And you can say, well, how am I ever going to buy a car? Well, I'm living proof that in a lot of years my income was real low, and I started paying cash for my cars in 85, basically. And my oldest two kids got brand new cars when they got out of college, and I paid cash for them. Out of high school, not out of college, excuse me. You start making your car payment to yourself. Studies have been done that the cheapest car you can buy the cheapest car that you can own is the one that you do own. You can never buy another car and have less invested in it than the one you own. I don't know if I'm saying that exactly right, but cars are lousy investments. God has called us to be salt and light and to be different. If you have to drive a car to have prestige and status, you got a problem. And I think I'm preaching to the choir here. I looked at the cars out there on the parking lot, and y'all don't have a problem with cars. The vast majority of you. The Cadillacs, the Lincolns, the Mercedes, they're not out here. So in that case, I'm preaching to the choir. But if your car is financed, then you got a problem. The average American pays $200,000 to $300,000 in interest on cars in their lifetime. God has called us to be different, men. If we're going to have an influence on our community, if we're going to have an influence on our family, one of the worst things my dad ever told me to do is go buy a car and finance it. My kids have never in their adult life seen me finance a car. I've told them if they take a student loan to go through college, Daddy's help stops. They've been shown by precept and through the Word of God that borrowing money is not the way to go. Every dollar you pay in interest lowers your standard of living. It's a lie of Satan that you have to borrow money to live. If you don't pay your credit cards in full every month, burn them. The first month you don't pay your credit card in full, have a burnt offering. If you lose your wife over that, well, you're going to lose her anyway. And I say that too quickly, but finances kill marriage. Bad finances kills marriages. And if some of y'all have experienced that, I know. get with your wife if you're married. If you're single, then just burn your credit cards and don't worry about it. There's been at least two studies that say if you live on cash versus credit cards, you spend one-third less. And that's hard to believe, but I can tell you by experience that it's true. If I'm going to stick out a piece of plastic, I'm not near as careful about buying that ticket or buying that toy that I just think I've got to have. If I pay cash, I'm a little bit less likely to buy as an expensive a toy. And I've got every toy I want right now, and I don't have them all, but I've got every one I want for now until I see something else pretty and shiny.
Well, why would you say that I'm not disagreeing with you at all because I have no idea, but my question is, why is it okay to borrow money for like a house and borrow money to go into business? Why are those the two exceptions?
Because generally a house is an appreciating thing, and of course we don't know tomorrow if the houses right now are going up nationally 6% a year, so it's an appreciating item that you can sell and get rid of and not lose money. A business is an investment where hopefully you're either making your living in or you're investing it for a return. And my goal, and I'm not there yet, is to be totally debt free. And like I say, I'm not there. I owe on my home and I owe on one business building. My goal is to be totally debt-free in 10 years. Never take a 30-year mortgage. Take a 15-year mortgage, and you pay half the interest, and your house is paid off. You save literally thousands upon thousands of dollars if you'll take a 15-year loan versus a 30-year loan. If you've already got a 30-year loan in force, have somebody run you an amortization schedule on a 15-year, and then pay that extra principal, and then you still save the thousands of dollars. Interest, I think, is the rust that destroys, and it's going to destroy our society. I'm not a gloom and doomer, but I think that America is going to have a severe crunch and a severe correction, and it's going to be a wonderful opportunity time for Christians that are debt free to acquire assets. If I'm totally debt free, they can't come take what I've got. And those of y'all that are from Texas, was it the late 80s that 75% of the S&Ls went broke in Texas? You can say, well, are they going to come take my home if the banks go broke? I promise you they will. Even if the S&L goes broke or the banks go broke, if you owe money, they're going to take your house and sell it to somebody for 10 cents on the dollar. So get out of debt. God will bless it, I promise you.
Mark, is it necessarily a bad thing if you've got revolving debt like credit cards to get a fixed loan?
A refinance?
Like a commercial credit, even if it's 18%?
Well, most of you can get credit cards now that have 10% or 12%. If the question is, should you do a reconsolidation loan to get rid of the high interest, yes, but have a burn offering of the credit cards when you do it. Go to you and your wife, or you go to some good Christian counselors and get on a budget, or you're just digging yourself another hole. Nothing wrong with consolidation loans. You're just long as you don't go back in debt with credit cards again. This one says, I've got student loan debt and want to know, is going into debt more to start a business an unwise move? Probably. If you're 40 years plus, hopefully you've got your student loans paid off. But if you're just getting out of college, work for somebody else. I went bust besides bankruptcy, I went bust in business about three times from 21 to 35. I started two or three businesses, and because of lack of knowledge, lack of experience, lack of salesmanship, lack of control, I busted. If you'll wait till you get a little bit older and work for somebody else and see how they make money, you're better off. Learn from their mistakes instead of making the same mistakes yourself. A good physical example is my daddy. When he married my mother at age 45, he and she were both flat broke. but he had enough experience to where he knew how. He went in business for himself at age 45, and from 45 to 75, he still raised three kids and died a millionaire. So there's, if you're busted at 45, you can still finances. And I'm not saying being a millionaire is your goal. I hope that's not what I'm saying. But don't try to start too soon. Don't think that you've got to have the dream house, the dream car, and all the toys as you're going along. They will kill your marriage. Finances will and debt will kill you. So don't start in business too young. Learn from others and learn. Learn how they made a profit in business before you start jumping out on your own. You'll avoid some of the mistakes. Would you use your house equity to borrow against? I think is one of the questions. And no, pay your house off. Pay your house off before you pay anything else off, besides high credit card debt. For your wife's mental health, pay your house off. If you've got the finances to do it. What percent of... I'm not sure. I may have to come to that one. I can't understand it. What I think about the new Roth IRAs, I think it's probably better than the other type of IRAs. I personally think that you shouldn't have more than 5% of your money in a retirement account. Take all your assets, your home, your business, cash, real estate, stocks, bonds. Don't put more than 5% in any one type of investment. Solomon said, divide your portion into 7 or 8, for who knows what ill will befall the earth. And if Solomon said it, it's good enough for me. Yeah. Don't put, if all your savings is in retirement type accounts and the federal government decides to roll it into the Social Security system, is money gone? No, but you're not going to have access to it. It's going to come back to you in piddling and at a loss. I personally have less than 5% of my cash assets in an IRA type account. I don't trust the federal government to do my investing for me. And when you put it in the IRA, they consider it their money until you pay the taxes on it. So don't put very little in the IRA. Should a person pay off his mortgage as early as possible or maintain the mortgage for a tax deduction? It's a lie of Satan that the tax deduction you have on your home is good. If you pay $10,000 a year in interest, if you're in the 30% tax bracket, Uncle Sam's paying 30% of your mortgage, you're paying 70% of that interest. Pay it off, and then you get to keep the 70%. Uncle Sam's going to take 30%, but I'm going to keep 70%. I like that deal a whole lot better. Interest is never good, period. It lowers your standard of living. Pay off your house, pay off your debt, and you're a whole lot better off. When things are going good, where should we look in the Bible? When things are going bad, where should we read? Good or bad, stay in Proverbs. Read a chapter of Proverbs a day, and it'll keep the doctor away. It's been my habit for years now, in good or bad times, whatever else you do, whatever Bible studies, whatever scripture memory, there's 31 chapters of Proverbs, I think, for that. Today I read Proverbs chapter 20. If you'll do that daily, God will keep your attention. And no matter what else I'm doing spiritually, I do that. Come hell or high water, when I flip on my computer in the morning, I pop up Proverbs. The girls say, you've got a call? Take a message. That's my one thing I do if I do nothing else. Stay in Proverbs. Good or bad times. How do I figure the right amount to save for kids each month, kids' education, retirement, emergencies, etc.? My personal experience is I've got a senior in college. She's 21. I haven't paid a penny for her college. And it's not that I'm not willing to, but I haven't had to, so I'm not going to. I've got a freshman in college at A&M. I paid all of his tuitions and books. and I'll probably continue to do that for him until he gets out of college. I've got one that starts college next year. Probably she's going to be out here at Midwestern, and she's going to pay all of her own. Am I playing favorites? Mm-mm. My son wants to be an engineer, and he's having to bust his butt to make the grades just to stay in college at A&M. My daughter that's 21 makes about $20,000 a year right now while she's going to college. She's developed her trade. She knows what she's going to do from now for the rest of her life, and college is just secondary to what she's doing. But she's got the joy of knowing that Daddy didn't help her. What's right for me may not be right for y'all, but my experience is if you pay for all of your kids' college, they're not going to appreciate it. I paid for all of mine. I paid for 3.5 years, and it didn't hurt me one bit. I've told all three of my kids that if they borrow a student loan, Daddy's help stops immediately. It's more important to teach your kids how to manage money than how to make money. I believe that if your kids are college material, they ought to go to college. I believe if they're not college material, you ought to encourage them to go to a trade school. My brother-in-law is a mechanic, and he makes more money than I do, and he hides a bunch of it because he's not a believer. Nothing wrong with trade school. Nothing wrong with becoming a tradesman and making a good living that way. But encourage your kids that from the time they're this on up, that you're not going to pay all of it. I've got the money to pay 100% of all three of my kids' college, but I'm doing them an injustice if I do. My youngest daughter is a senior this year. She wants to go off to college, but she can get the same degree at Midwestern. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to spend my retirement money to send her off when she can get the same education here. Mean old daddy.
Were you saying then that you should not have a plan?
I've got a plan, and I've got the money set aside for my kids, but they don't know it. You shouldn't tell them you have the money set aside for them, because then they're going to depend on it. My son doesn't know if I've got the money to keep him 6 years at A&M or not.
But there is a way to know, Mark. I mean, right? You can take whatever it costs, typical college and state.
In today's money, you're talking about $40,000 to $50,000.
Right, and then you can project inflation, then you can determine how many years, and it tells you how much you have to save a month. Right?
Yeah. But I'd say you ought to be more worried about getting out of debt, putting money aside for your own retirement, and telling your kids that they're going to have to work their way through college. I highly encourage that. And I've seen too many kids ruined because they didn't have to work to college. They get out of college with a degree and they don't know how to work. You've done your kids no favor if you don't make them work. Make them work in high school, some. Make them work in college more, because then when they come out of college, they know how to work. They know that they've got to show up. They know they've already disciplined in that area. I've got some friends that's got 3 degrees and driving a taxi cab. With 3 degrees, he's driving a taxi cab because his parents didn't force him to work while he was growing up. Give your kids a work ethic. Teach a man how to fish and feed him for a lifetime. Give him a fish and feed him for a day. Teach your kids how to work. Very important. And like I say, I set aside the money for my kids to go to college, but they don't know it, and they're not going to know it. Y'all don't tell them. What's the right amount of setting aside for retirement and education and all that? Number one goal is get totally out of debt. Pay cash for your cars. Pay cash for everything. And then you start building your retirement. So get out of debt totally, and then the other takes care of itself. And my dad lived that, and I'm living that. I'm not there yet, but I'm heading in that direction.
Now, you talked about retirement not being something you saw in Scripture, but then you talk about setting aside for it. And you also mentioned plan on slowing down as you get older, but not stopping. So when you talk about planning for retirement, are you talking about saving for illness for the last couple of years, or just for something to supplement the fact that you probably only working part-time at that age? Or?
I plan on slowing down sometime in the next 20, 30 years as far as my business activity. And yes, you ought to save for retirement. So I'm not trying to say that at all. And again, the righteous man gives an inheritance to his children's children. When I slow down, if I'm going to give an inheritance to my children's children, and before I forget, my will is set up so that if me and my wife both die prematurely before they get out of college, I've set aside enough, and I've instructed my executor that he will help them get through college. Then the funds stop, and then they get $5,000 every 5 years till they're age 40, and then they get whatever's left. An inheritance quickly gained is squandered, the scripture says. Don't give your kids money until they learn how to make their own.
Give the reference on that, please.
No. It's in there. I'm spoiled to the Bible, to the computer on Bible now, and I've quit memorizing references. Y'all don't do that. That's not good. But that's an exact quote. Where was I? Set your will up so that your kids won't get the money prematurely, because it'll ruin them. It will flat dab ruin them. When things like the price of oil are low, like they seem to be now, is it a good thing to invest in? What principles?
2021. Probably 2021.
Thank you.
Thank you. Back to the oil.
The principle on investing is don't invest what you don't understand. If you can't understand it, don't invest a penny in it. Don't trust somebody else to invest money for you and make you a profit. If they're investing money for you, they're going to make the profit, and you're going to be lucky if you break even. For me, there's about four or five things that I can understand and learn and make money in, and then what I don't understand, I don't invest in. I invest in first lien notes and make a 15% return on my money. That's something any of you can learn. I invest in rent property. I've invested in my home, which that's a good investment. You can invest in the stock market, but use zero. Any of y'all in here stockbrokers? See, I'm an insurance agent, and I don't believe it's wrong to pay commission. I live on commission, but don't pay a stockbroker to invest for you. Study, learn, and do it yourself, and use no load mutual funds, and don't use a stockbroker. Use those Charles Schwab or whatever it is. Where you don't pay any commission or very low commission, and when you buy stock, hold it and don't sell it. But the principle of investing is invest in what you know, what you can understand, what you can control, or don't do it. And you don't have to start out investing in several different things. Invest in your home should be your first investment and get it paid off. I won't belabor that point.
What's a first lien note?
Your mortgage on your house, if you're paying a bank, that's called a first lien note. So once you get some money set aside, you become the bank for somebody else. I actually loan money on homes for people to buy homes. Does that make sense?
Is that through like some of your rent property? You buy a rent property?
That's one way you can do it. You buy a rent property, you get it paid off, and then you sell it and you carry the lien. Or you actually buy the first lien note. There's people that sell first lien notes, and there's nothing wrong with buying those. And my dad always made 15% on first lien notes. I'm not quite as good. Sometimes I only make 9 or 10%.
There is such a thing as a second lien. The first lien, if you sell it on an auction, the guy gets his first lien, and then whatever less goes to the second lien.
That or second lien note means somebody did a home improvement, and then you buy that note, or you loan somebody to do a home improvement. That's a second lien note. Don't ever buy or don't ever do second lien notes. And that's another course, but just don't do it.
Mark, on your 15% that you're talking about, that you're talking about profit.
Yes, return on it. That's my return.
Buying someone else's notes already existing.
That right, and it's discounted. Or I buy the house, fix it up, and then the profit on the house plus the interest makes a 15% return.
We don't buy mortgages in distress.
That can be fine if you know what you're doing, but you need to know that the mortgage is like 50% of the value of the house, so that if you have to repossess it, you're not going to. And if you don't have a strong enough constitution to kick somebody out of their house, don't loan them the money, because you're going to have to sooner or later if you do that. And you know, you're just like the bank. If they don't make their payments, you've got to take the house back. The same way in rent property. If you can't kick somebody out that doesn't pay the rent, don't own rent property, because people will take advantage of you. Should kids have allowances for chores such as that? I never did. I made my kids do chores, or encouraged them to, and I never paid them allowance. My dad never gave me allowance, so that's why I never gave my kids allowance. But I encouraged them to work as young as possible, you know, not a paper route, do odd jobs, whatever you can encourage your kids to make money. They need to at as early an age as possible. And if y'all have a conviction to give allowance, scripturally you don't have any ground. It's not good or bad. It's just what you work out with you and your wife. How do you constantly keep a food budget, dining out budget? Again, that's if you'll get Larry Burkett's budgeting workbook and tapes, video series or cassette series, it'll teach you exactly how to live on a cash budget. And highly recommend it. It works and gives you freedom.
Don't have the money budgeted to buy a thing.
I understand.
If you get through on this phone show, he'll give it to you.
Yeah. Just don't eat out one time and you'll have the money to do it. $15, $20. Most churches have it and they'll loan it to you. If you're from around here, I've got a fellow that'll give it to you. The fellow that took me through it, that's his ministry. He takes couples through it and gets them started on the right foot, and he'll help them work out the exact budget, and that's a good way to do it, besides just listening to it. Get a Christian counselor to go through it with you, and that's their ministry, and they don't charge you to do it. What's the balance between vision for disciple-making and using the business as a platform to reach people for Christ and the disciple in the business and the marketplace? As I told you, I believe in disciple-making. I believe in the disciple-making ministry. I've never particularly been able to do it in my business. Right now I've got 9 or 10 employees. They all know my stand. Half of them are Christian. Half of them are lost. My bottom secretary makes $27,000 a year. I pay my employees well. I don't like to particularly, but the Scripture tells me to. If I could get by with $5 an hour and the Lord would let me, I'd pay them that. But they make $13 an hour plus. The balance is whatever works for you and your wife. My experience is my wife and I take young couples, bring them into our home. We become friends with them first. We go out and play with them, do whatever to become friends, establish a relationship, get them in a Bible study. So then usually they get saved at that point after you've had them in a study for a while. And then just as long as God will let you maintain that relationship, you keep working with them until God takes them elsewhere or until they start doing it themselves. As far as doing it in your business, you know, if you learn how and can do it that way, fine. I've never had luck at I've tried and it just hadn't worked. I've tried it in my local church and gone through the 2-7 series in the local church. That works a lot of times. So the key is keep trying. You're going to fail on 50 for every one success. But I've had maybe 10 successes or 15 successes in the last 20 years. So if I die today, I'm successful. God may not think so, but the disciple ministry works, men. It really does. Highly encourage you. Just keep on trying till, and pray that God will give you the hearts of one man, one couple, and He'll do it because it's on God's heart too. But what's the balance between discipleship ministry, family, job? You know, family comes first before discipleship ministry, because my three kids are the envy of most parents here in Wichita Falls. They love the Lord. They're leading Bible studies at times. My kids are my success. Yep. I highly recommend that you... I took my kids on vacation every year, even when I couldn't afford it. I sent them to Glen Eyrie. I took them to Glen Eyrie. I sent them to Eagle Lake Camp. Highly recommend Eagle Lake. Send your kids there after they get too big to take them to Glen Eyrie. Take them to Glen Eyrie for all the years. They'll go with you. Then send them to Eagle Lake. And
What is that?
If y'all know where Glen Eyrie is in Colorado Springs, up Queens Canyon from there is a Christian camp ran by the Navigators called Eagle Lake. And the counselors at Eagle Lake are people that's been discipled in college ministries, and then they go up there and they're the counselors for the junior high and high school kids. All of them love Jesus, and all of them spend one-on-one time with the kids up there at the camp. All three of my kids have developed and maintained quiet times because of Eagle Lake. How much more could you ask? What specific scripture is there on tithing? We got any preachers in here? Any full-time preachers? I'm going to make one guy mad. Tithing is a myth of the church. Storehouse tithing is a myth, in my opinion. God owns it all. To me, the preachers that preach storehouse... I apologize. This is not Navigator policy. There's the disclaimer. Okay. The preachers that preach storehouse tithing, if I sell life insurance and that's how I make my living, I'm going to sell whole life because I make the most commission. I don't make a living that way, so I'll tell you to buy term and invest the difference.
Yes. Good for you.
If I was a preacher, I think God would convict me that storehouse tithing is right because that's how I made my living. If you really get spiritual, you'll... God loves a cheerful giver. Those that minister to you, as the Scripture says, you're to give back to them. Lots of good Scripture that God owns it all. God owns all of my money. Do I give it all to Him? No. In the past, I've given 10% or more of my money to the Lord in different ministries. Right now, I don't give 10%. I'm not... my wife and I are not under conviction that we ought to be giving any more right now. But we sit down together and decide who to give it to. And usually we try to, on an annual basis, sit down to say, how much are we going to give to our church? And you ought to support your local church. We support a couple of different Navigator ministries. We give to the poor and needy in the church. I think there's nothing you can go to heaven and believe that, no problem.
Just define the term.
The storehouse tithing means that you give 10% of your income to your local church that you're attending.
It comes from the verse in
Malachi. Right. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse. Would you rob God? You've robbed me of the tithe. And in New Testament giving, God owns it all. He doesn't own 10%. He doesn't require 10%. He requires that you hold all of your life in an open hand. And if He wants it all, and I'm not saying I'd give it to Him, but He wants you to hold your life like this and all your money like that, and where He directs it, you give it.
That's your time, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your time also.
So time can be a tithe as well.
This note's asking about bankruptcy and how best to plan for retirement. And actually, I've been there and done that, and I can tell you it's not a good option. Should you lie? Should you cheat on your wife? You should pay what you owe. I declared bankruptcy. If I had to do it over again, when I did it, the CCC wasn't there. I think I'd go that route now if I had the choice. It's my understanding that they can negotiate with the creditors to freeze the interest when you're that far that you're literally bankrupt. Most Americans, most people in this room are bankrupt and just don't know it. If your net worth is zero or less, then you're bankrupt. It's just how do you get out of that situation? And the best way is to stop borrowing money, burn your credit cards, and start paying off your debts, and just you and your wife commit that you're not going to borrow anymore. And it works. I promise you it works.
Martin, for what it's worth, a few years ago, my wife and I were dug in pretty deep. We went to CCC, went through all their stuff, and they said, file for bankruptcy and get a lawyer.
Same here.
We went to a banker friend in our congregation. He gave us a plan we dug out to declare bankruptcy. We're working on being debt free. We're not there, but I went there for help, and
it didn't work out.
Well,
and like I say, try it. If it doesn't work, if you have to declare bankruptcy, it's just like divorce. God hates divorce, but 1 John 1:9 works. If we confess our sins, He is faithful just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. You know, if that's the only way, and if that's what you have to do to save your marriage, do it.
I have a fellow guy in the street who went to CCC, and they did get his interest frozen and reduced, and he sends them one check and they disperse it for him.
They can, and that's
5-year program, and
that's the best option.
They fixed it so he can't borrow any money from anybody who's renting a home.
It may depend on the counselor you have.
Sure, he's got 2 more years and he's going to be out of debt, and he's going to get a pay raise of about double his current salary. Just because he has to send that amount in.
Right.
That still shows negatively on the credit report.
Yes, it does. But so what? It's better, and it's a better, it's a more honorable option if you can do it than bankruptcy.
He said, well, that's a good deal. I don't want anybody to be able to loan me money again.
And like I say, for after my bankruptcy, it was 10 years before I borrowed a penny. But now, you know, my credit's fine. I currently owe $200,000 is what I owe, but God has given me the ability to earn money, and I've got enough. If I liquidated, I could pay it off. So there is life after bankruptcy. You can borrow money after bankruptcy once you get it all paid off.
Does this show up that one day you went bankrupt, or does that disappear after
10 years?
After 7 years or 10 years, it falls off and doesn't show up at all. But a lot of bank loans applications ask it, and if somebody asks me, am I proud of it? Heavens no. Do I brag about it? No. Outside this group, you know, on a normal day-to-day basis, do I tell people? No. But the only reason I tell y'all is to tell you not to do it and not to get in that position. But there is life after bankruptcy. One question was, should you buy a term or whole life? And I personally believe you buy term insurance and invest the difference. Most of the time, if you're a multimillionaire, you could have an estate tax problem, then you may need whole life. When my father died, he didn't owe anybody a penny. He had his burial paid for. He had cash to take care of his wife until she died. There's a point where you don't need life insurance. I personally carry enough insurance to see that my kids are educated, my wife is taken care of. My wife doesn't work outside. She works in my business now, but she's never worked out of the home except maybe the first year of our marriage. If your wife works, try to work her out of a job. And especially if you have kids, your wife ought to be at home. Scripturally, she can work, no problem. Financially, unless she's got a degree or has a high-income job, it's better for the wife to stay at home. Financially, it's better. Finances aside, my kids are a testimony of God's grace because my wife stayed home and helped and raised them. If your wife doesn't stay home, your kids are going to have more problems. I personally was almost an alcoholic by the time I was 20 because both parents worked. I went and did what I worked all the time, then I'd go out and get drunk. And this was from like 13, 14 on up till I was 20 or 21. You know, if your parents aren't home to watch you, you can do what you want to, and your kids will too. So if you work your wife out of a job if she's working, especially if you've got young kids, until they get in high school or college, your wife ought to be at home with the kids if at all possible. And I know sometimes it's not possible.
What's the difference, Mark, between term and life?
Term and whole life? Term insurance is cheap insurance that bills no cash value. Whole life bills cash value. Most life insurance salesmen have a vested interest in selling you whole life because they make more money. And there are certain instances, like say, if you've got a big estate where you're going to have an estate tax problem, then yes, you need whole life probably. But I personally carry $1 million worth of term insurance on myself right now because I don't want my wife to have to go to work if I die. That's enough to pay off my $200,000 in debt I've got and have enough left over to live on the investment money without touching the principal. And that's, if you've got small kids, buy as much term insurance as you can afford, pay off your debts, and then eventually, when my kids get totally out of college, I'll drop it down to $500,000. When I get totally out of debt and have enough for my wife to live on when I die first, and statistically I'm going to, then I'm going to drop all my insurance. And you can plan on giving your money away to your wife and or your kids so that you don't have an estate tax problem for most folks.
Does the insurance come before or after debt-free?
Before. If God has charged me with taking care of my family, and if I die, the church isn't going to, my friends aren't going to, they're going to be thrown on welfare, and the wife's going to have to work, so I carry enough insurance, term insurance, so that my wife is taken care of if I die. I don't carry a penny worth of insurance on my kids, I never have. I don't carry a penny's worth of insurance on my wife, and I never have. If your wife is the high income earner of the family, maybe you should insure her to take care of the kids if she dies. So, you know, to say a wife should never have insurance, and like I said, I don't make my living selling life insurance. I sell life insurance. If you want to buy whole life, I'll sell it to you if you're determined you want to buy it. But I make a real good commission on it. But I can sell you some cheap term, and any other agent can too, where you can take your other money, get out of debt. And I told Peter this, one of the richest men in North Texas, and that means he's got money to be rich in this part of the country. He literally owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns more than 1,000 cattle, and he owns more than 1,000 hills, and he owns half the oil wells around this country. You know what he drives?
An old pickup.
73 International Scout.
That's a good car.
But don't think you've got to have a prestigious car. Most millionaires, if you look at them, they're driving old Ford station wagons.
What does his wife drive?
I've
known a couple of these guys.
Yeah.
And had money. And
I think she took half. She took half of his money and left because he drove home.
I recently lost one to cancer. Wonderful guy, and he was a self-made man, lots of money. He drove a beat-up old pickup, but his wife had a new Cadillac every couple of years.
And I'm not saying you shouldn't drive Cadillacs and that you shouldn't drive BMWs, but when you can pay cash for them and the Lord will let you do it, that's fine. But ask the Lord, and you won't be driving them.
Mark, when you were talking about the term insurance,
mm-hmm.
You said you buy the term that if anything happens to us with our families, that is it's a one-time thing, or does that pay out so much per month for a wife?
It's lump sum, but I've got a good estate manager.
Where it can be a principal, and then she can live off the interest of that principal.
Right.
Okay.
And in my case, my wife is a better money manager than I am, so I trust my wife to take care of it. Nobody's going to bilk her out of it if I'm gone. I pity the man that tries. But in most instances, if your wife can't control money, put it, get a good fellow that can control the estate and manage it for her. And have a will. If you don't have a will, shame on you. This question is, should I have a bank account in my wife's name so if I die, vice versa? Mine are personally joint. And really, I think the question is, should my wife have her own credit? No, but I shouldn't have credit either. I shouldn't use credit. I personally now have 2 credit cards. I use one for personal, one for business, but I pay the balance every month, and I never charge unless I've already got the cash in the bank to pay for it. But again, until you're on a budget and you've lived on a budget for years and lived on a cash budget, don't have credit cards. Do not have credit cards.
Mark, what's your take on Visa check cards? We got rid of our credit cards when we got into trouble. And I was traveling some for business, and like at some hotels you had to leave a credit card number for incidentals, you want to rent a car.
If you
got one of these Visa check cards,
yeah.
Which everybody takes as a credit card, but of course it's coming straight out of your check account. I really like that.
There's nothing, that's really a debit card where it's just like writing a check. And that's probably okay. It's a better option than a credit card.
We've been
real happy with that because we have to control our spending. We can't just go out and blow money with it.
Because if it isn't there, you can't use it.
Let's ask about college, kids' college education, and I've already answered that.
We don't have the money, that's true.
Do you suggest, I think it says a four-year ledger, column ledger for control, four-column ledger for controlling finances. Whatever works for you, whatever works for you and your wife is fine. We personally now just put it all in one account and pay the bills out of it, but that's after living on out of a cash box for 10 years, learning how to be financially responsible for and not make just total frivolous purchases. And adopting a lifestyle that you are comfortable with and then stay there. Don't just think because your income goes up, your lifestyle has to go up. Nothing wrong with owning boats. Nothing wrong with owning lake cabins. Nothing wrong with owning motorcycles, race cars. There's nothing wrong in those per se unless they control you. If your things control you, then they're wrong.
I heard a guy say once that whatever you keep your mind on most of the time is your God.
Good way to look at it. Is there any question I haven't really covered that y'all wanted me to?
How do you repair credit?
If you had bad credit, don't worry about repairing it. I personally don't care if people loan me money or not. I'm better off if they don't. I think a lot of times when we borrow money, it limits God's direction in our life. If I have to have the money to do something and I don't have it, that's God telling me not to do it. Or in a lot of cases. So don't worry about repairing your credit. If you live responsibly and pay your bills on time, your credit will take care of itself. If you
were to borrow money for a house, even though your credit record might show that you filed bankruptcy and then petitioned to withdraw it?
Once you get your credit act cleared up, even if that bankruptcy's on there, they'll loan you money, has been my experience. Because I borrowed money to buy a new house even when that hadn't fallen off my credit record. But by the time I bought a new house and financed it, I'd lived on a budget like for 5 years, and I'd been paying cash for my cars for 5 years, and we're talking about almost 15 years now that you can pay cash for everything except your house and some business. I had to buy a business building. I bought a little house I could afford, and God blessed my business and I outgrew it, so I had to buy a bigger building just to take care of what the business God was sending my way, and I had to borrow money to do it. And am I sorry? No. But I put it on a 10-year note, and I'm getting it paid off as quick as humanly possible to get back out of debt. So business debt isn't necessarily bad. Just get out of it as quick as you can.
Mark, if you have good health insurance, I don't understand disability insurance. Can you talk about that?
I personally don't carry it. I think it's probably a good thing to have. Disability insurance replaces your income if you get off by a stroke or heart attack or where you can't do your profession. I think it's down the scale of needs. I think health insurance should be important. Life insurance is number two, and then if you've got the excess funds to get disability income, I think you should probably have it until you get your investments up enough to where you can live without your income. I've never put a whole lot of stock in it or sold it. I've got two life guys that work for me, and they sell a little of it. But
isn't there some income replacement provided through Social Security?
Mm-hmm. Especially when you have kids at home. But it's not enough to live on.
I happened to have a Social Security years ago, so I have the ability because there wouldn't be any
at all. Highly recommend that, but most of us don't have that privilege of opting out of Social Security. If you have the option, do it.
Mark, do you have Horizon, Mark? Do you have a secure Horizon here in Texas or any company like that?
Not that I'm aware of, but
Navigators have a health program. It's about $325 a month for two people. With this Secure Horizon, they're moving into Colorado. About 22,000 people on that, and it's a
famous self-insure.
Plus $5 to visit the doctor, whereas before, Mutual of Omaha wouldn't pay the claim, and you know, you
I had last year. I had the question: why should I carry health insurance as a Christian? Shouldn't I trust God to keep me healthy? Right before I got married, I told my future mother-in-law I didn't believe in insurance, and I made my living at it for the last 20 years or so. But only two people got out of this world alive: Elijah and Enoch. And everybody else is going to get sick and die. And if you don't have health insurance, you're going to become a ward of the state eventually, which means us in here that pay taxes will pay your health bills for you. And God didn't intend Christians to be on welfare, so do carry health insurance. One of the questions I had: what's the best things to invest in? And I believe, personally, your home is one of your best investments, and get your home paid for first. That should be your number one investment. First lien notes is my second favorite investment. I think the stock market is a good high-risk place to put a little money. Rent property is good. And then your own business is the best, one of the best places to invest.
Mark, when you say stock market, what's your take, stock market versus mutual fund?
I personally believe the mutual fund for me is the best because I can understand it, put it there, and forget it. Get it in a good mutual fund and then leave it there for 15, 20 years and hope it's there when you get ready to use it. But I personally would not put more than 5% of my assets in the stock market, mutual fund or otherwise. Yes? Were you holding your...
Yes, I am.
I saw that hand.
Yeah, I was. You talk about Proverbs, and I got a verse that I have a hard time with. It's Proverbs 23:4-5. Do not wear yourself to gain riches. Cease from your reasons of it. When you set your eyes on it, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes death itself wings like an eagle that flies towards the heaven.
If your goal is to get rich, it's the wrong goal. God condemns people that their God is money, and your goal is to get rich and can all I can and spoil the rest so nobody else can get it. That is the wrong goal. But there's verse after verse that says, look at the ant and see how he stores up in summer for winter. A righteous man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. There's plenty of verses that talk about the God increases the wealth of the righteous and adds no trouble to it. Plenty of verses that God would have you store up for yourself, for your children, and your children's children. But if you wear yourself out to do it, it's wrong. I personally think a fellow that's younger than me, ought to work 60 hours a week to keep his wife from working. It's a modern misconception that a 40-hour week and anything over that is excessive horse hockey. If you've got to work 60 hours a week to support yourself and your family, do it. I can't have a discipleship ministry if I work 60 hours a week. That comes later, men. First plow your field, then build your home. First support your family, and then worry about ministry. Your family is your ministry. If you don't take care of your family, you have no ministry. But if you have to work 60 hours a week for the first 20 years of your working life so that your wife doesn't have to work, do it.
I read Larry Burkett's book, The Coming Economic Earthquake, and if somebody is out of debt, pays zero credit card interest, but doesn't own a home, what would be the best way to capture money that's accumulating in a savings account in preparation for something like that?
You know, money market fund is fine, pays a little better return, and personally I'd say you probably ought to go ahead and go in debt to buy the home. And put it on a 10-year payout if you can, and get it paid off as quick as possible. And who knows what's going to happen in the future? I personally think we're going to have an economic collapse. Is it going to happen in 1 year, 10 years, 15 years? I don't know. The only way you can be prepared is be totally out of debt. But the other side is, don't worry yourself to death. If things keep rocking along, you're better off buying your home, getting it paid for, And if it all crashes while you're in the midst, God is in control, and He's going to meet our needs, and He's going to take care of us. I personally got one home that I can live in that's totally paid for, and I jealously guard that, and I'm never going to sell it, or, you know, unless God tells me to. But I don't do any indebtedness, or I don't pledge that home as an asset. So if everything goes to hell in a handbasket, I've got a place I can live and take care of my family. And I think God would have us do that. And I learned that from Gene Moore.
What will happen to money in a bank in that situation?
It's gone.
Same as the stock market?
Stock market's gone. Money in the bank's gone. If we have a total economic collapse, anything that's not hard assets. But there again, if it's a first lien note, if I'm the bank and somebody doesn't make me the payment on my first lien note, I've got the property. That's why I love first lien notes. I'm the bank. Own land, own your home. And then those things during a crunch, they're going to be there.
So that's why you're saying you don't like to have more than 5% of your assets in a stock market or mutual fund in case of a collapse, mm-hmm. and you're only out 5%.
You're only out 5% of your total investments.
Can you talk about specifically how much life insurance is enough? I know it's easy to say you need to have life insurance, and most guys, I would submit, probably don't know.
Yeah, you need to have enough so that your wife can live on the interest and not eat up the principal. And I don't know if that's making sense. And like I say, in my own case, I've still got three kids that I'm responsible for, and they're almost gone. Hallelujah. And I love my kids. But have enough life insurance so that your wife can live on the interest. And if you have $1 million and it returned 10%, that's $100,000 a year. Well, if you're living on $50,000 a year, you can have $500,000 and have $50,000 a year off of that money without her eating up the principal. Does that make sense? Yes.
What about your? I've got a 401k plan, retirement plan, and I think probably 95% of that's all invested in mutual funds. Is how they do that. Any suggestions on how to move that around?
If you've got control of it, then and you totally direct it to first lien notes if you can, and it's your money and in your name. Usually most people don't have the you can't touch it, you can't really direct it, so don't worry about it. Don't put any more money in a retirement account. If the majority of your money that your business that you work for is directing to retirement accounts, make sure all your other money is in first lien notes, rent property, something, stock market, something that you can know and control. And if you can't control that, there's nothing you can do about it. As quick as you can get it out of there, do.
You wouldn't recommend even putting the maximum per year in there?
If the company is matching it, put what they're matching. Yes, if they're matching it, yes, because that's a good return on your money.
Put what, $10,000 a year, I think, in there.
Yeah, but be careful to try to have as many other investments as you can besides that.
What are some of the steps to take to going into business for yourself as far as borrowing the money? Where should you look? And
borrow as little as possible. Start out working out of your home. Have as little a debt load as possible. 97% of businesses go broke in the first 3 years, and it's mainly because of debt load. If you have to borrow money, you've got a problem. Try to save up the money first before you go into business for yourself.
You've got to have capital.
No, not really. When I started in business the last time for myself, I just came out of bankruptcy. I didn't have a penny to my name. I rented an office. I bought used office furniture. I poor boyed it. So it didn't take me $200 a month to pay my business expenses when I first started. So does that make sense? I didn't have to borrow money to start my own business because you rent, you buy used furniture, you buy used computers. So most of your businesses, you don't have to have the big building, the new computers, the fancy offices. You don't have to have that.
Well,
poor boy it until you can pay cash for everything. If I buy a new computer, anything I buy for my business besides that building, I pay cash for. All right, God's told me I don't need it. If you know, that's just the way I let God direct me. You know, if a good investment comes along and it's just so good that I can't pass it up, if I don't have the cash, I pass it up. If you have to borrow money to do investments, don't do it.
Even if that investment is starting a business?
I get good Christian counsel before I did that. And before a king goes to war, he gets a multitude of counsel, and business is war, men. I guarantee it's a war out there. So get a multitude of Christian counselors and non-Christian counselors to give you good, sound advice on how to start that business. Have a good business plan before you start, before you borrow a penny. Don't borrow the money, jump in, then go get advice. It's usually too late by that time. Gene Warr will sit down with anybody wanting to start a business and give you counsel and give you good Christian counsel. Find some good Christian businessmen that's willing to counsel with you before you borrow money to jump into a business. One of the older questions I had, when is too much when you're giving to the Lord? I haven't ever seen anybody have that problem. When is a young man financially stable enough to get married? If you got to ask that question, don't get married. When God gives you the right one, do it. When should you have children financially? When God gives her, He gives her the inkling that it's time to have children, have children. Don't worry about it financially. That's being selfish. God will give you the wisdom to provide for your family. Don't worry about the financial part of it. And the other side of that, God says, first plow your field, then build your home. Get your education first. If the right woman comes along before your education, it's not the right woman if she's not willing to wait. Get your education first. Get your trade school out of the way first. Then get married.
I heard a Christian historian say in all his research of history that the latter half of the 20th century in Western world is the first known recorded instances where children were considered in the context of finances. You know, where there was a playoff.
Mm-hmm. You know, children are a blessing from the Lord, and blessed is the man whose quiver is full. I see young couples delaying and not having children, and I feel so sorry for them. I cry for them. My kids are the best blessing I have ever had. We've got 15 more minutes. Before supper. Y'all want to leave and eat?
You still open a question from the floor?
I'm still open. Y'all go right ahead and ask.
But what about owning rental properties that are not located where you are?
You probably won't make a profit on it. If you're not there to control it and keep it rented and you have to have a property manager, you're probably better off selling it and then reinvesting where you're at. So if you're in the military and you move around a bunch, rent property is probably not a good option.
So you kind of want to QC it then.
What's that mean?
Quality control it.
Right. Yeah, if you can't control it, it's probably not going to make money.
Mark, if a person had enough money invested in real property to sell that and pay his own home mortgage off, would you recommend that?
The stock answer is yes, and I'd have to know your particular situation. But anytime you can pay your home off, for your wife's mental health, you're better off. For the family, you're better off. Gene Warr last year told me to pay my house off, and I haven't done it yet, and I'm on thin ice. Because I'd have to take investments I'd have to take it out of 15% money, and my loan is at 6%. But when you get counsel from somebody you know that walks with God, be careful about not taking it. when John Beckendam was here and alive, I was real careful not to take his counsel or go to him for counsel unless I was 100% committed to taking it. And if you've got a spiritual mentor in your life, be careful about the questions you're asking. Because I think God talks to us, first of all, through the Word, second of all, through our wives. and third through Christian mentors, spiritual, and the term that it elders, but we don't have an elder system in most churches, and I count Gene Moore as my elder, so I hate to go to him and ask advice and not do it. So be real careful about who you go if you've got a mentor, and not take their advice. Yes, sir.
How do you deal with the Lord's problem of needs by versus wants?
I'm glad you asked that.
How
do you deal with needs versus wants? Most of us need our wanters lowered, our spiritual barometer, our wanters need to be lowered. For the first 10 or 15 years of my married life, I didn't own a television. I encourage you to take your television and throw it out the back door, and that will lower your expect needs. For my kids, the best thing I ever did was throw away my television. And I've got
the advertising.
My kids didn't know what the latest fanciest whizzy was. And I had more quality time with my family, with my wife. If something was coming on special that we wanted to watch, we went to a friend's house and watched it. So it made us be sociable. I thought about telling y'all that if you'd take a picture of your television and crunch it, and then a picture of it after you crunch it, after 2 years, if you want it back, I'll buy it back for you. And I'll do that. If y'all will take your television, take a picture of it, and hit it with a sledgehammer, and take a picture of it with a sledgehammer, send it to me with what year model it is. If it's gone 2 years and then you think you want it back, I'll buy it back for you. I'll buy you another. I believe so strongly that the television is one of the biggest menaces to the Christian life. And is it bad? No. Do I own one now? Yes, but my kids are up and grown. I've developed in my later years, I've got a little bit of tolerance where it doesn't, you know, I'm not totally glued to it like I was in my younger years. I've never owned cable. Lord willing, while I have this wife, I'll never have cable. Get rid of your television, and your expectations and your desires will go down to what more like what God would have you to have it. Next question.
What do you think about metals like gold or silver or any of that? What would you buy if you were to buy some?
If I was going to buy some, and I have in the past, is silver. And don't put more than 1% of your assets in that. Because you're not going to lose that much, but you're not going to gain that much either. In Texas, most of these scams and silver has already been tried. So I bought silver at $3.75 an ounce and sold it at like $6 an ounce. I'm one of the few people you'll ever meet that made money on silver, I promise you. And it was pure luck. Pure luck. Next question. If y'all want time with me, I'd count it a privilege. So I'm going to be here and be available for the next two Saturday, rest of this evening, all day Saturday. I'll give you as much of my time as y'all want and count it a great privilege. And I say that with all seriousness. So if y'all have any questions we don't cover today, please get with me and I'll try to answer them.
I have a question that'll face a lot of the staff there ending their current retirement program and allowing us to self-invest now. So some of the staff are going to be receiving a lump sum.
Tell them all to get with me. And I won't make a penny off of any of them. And I say that because I've got the Navigators on my heart, as you know. And I'll tell them how to invest the money at no charge and spend as much time with them as they need. If they'll come down to Wichita or call me on the phone, I'll help them do it wisely and not make a penny off of it. So, but they do need some good, wise counsel. And Gene Ward would be a good one to go to. But I can tell you how to not lose money and how to make a little money. Any other questions?
What about land? Not as speculation, but just as a hedge and as a diversification of assets.
If you can pay cash for it, not a bad act. It's fine. But don't borrow money to buy land. Then don't borrow money to do any investment.
What about using your 401k to buy land and then paying
yourself there? I don't know. I'm not qualified on that one. Next question. next question. We're still doing okay on time. I promise to get you all out in time to eat. You can tell I don't miss very many meals.
Mark, I know on that 401k,
mm-hmm.
if you borrow your money, you're paying yourself back is the idea behind that. I think they usually say you're paying yourself back 2 or 3%. But what happens is it'll take that money out of that fund that they have invested over here for 10, 12, 15%. So I think in the long run it hurts you more than it helps you.
Probably so. And if you can, if it's your investment then and you're getting some of it out of the stock market and diversifying it, that's probably good. And so if everything crunches, then you own that land, that would probably be okay. But you need to look at it real close before you, it, like I say, if it's your money, it's probably all right.
How do you budget for a computer and subsequent upgrades?
Most, I right now own 15 computers, I think, and I have to keep them upgraded and all that, so pay cash for them, buy them through those catalogs, get these, and not particularly Dell computer, but there's others where you can get catalogs that shows a Pentium 133 for $600, carry it into a local computer store and say, if you'll match this, I'll buy it from you, and then buy it locally. But so you can buy computers a whole lot less than what you see at Office Depot. You can get a 133 with all the bells and whistles for $700 or $800. Monitor, keyboard, modem, all that.
So, software, everything.
Yeah. And I keep getting viruses, so if y'all can tell me how to stop getting viruses, I'd appreciate it. Quit sneezing on the computer. Next question. These are old questions from last year and year before last. And I wrote down the scriptures on these, but y'all asked most of them.
What's a good way to help other people with their finances without coming across in a little preachy way since it's such a sensitive area?
Ask God to give you their heart always be prepared to give a defense about the hope that is within you, but do it with gentleness and meekness. If your attitude's right, they'll know it, and wait until they express a desire. Or, you know, I don't have the privilege of telling y'all what to do until you ask me. So until they ask, don't volunteer. Until they're ready, they're not going to hear it anyway. Until they're desperate. You know, if you're in a discipleship relationship and you're helping the whole man, then yes, you can share with them before they get in problems. But otherwise, just wait till they ask, and then God will give you the privilege of helping people. And let's close in prayer, and I appreciate y'all's time.
Thank you.
Lord, we know that you'd have us to be a peculiar people, different from the world, to be salt and light. And we just pray that in the area of finance that you'd give us your wisdom, because we know that unless you build the house, we labor in vain financially. So we just pray that you'd give us wisdom on how to get out of debt, how to stay out of debt, how to have a oneness with our spouse if we're married, to be in agreement on these areas. Lord, we thank you that you are concerned about this and that you give us a good word out of your word. We commit this evening to you now in Christ's name. Amen.